This is Production Pro. I'm Dan Rubottom. I've been able to work on quite a few large-scale projects, from a $1 million feature I DP'd in Argentina and many years working for Joel Osteen, down to a one-man band where I do everything myself. So I totally get where you may be right now during coronavirus, where you don't have access to any of the normal tools you might have, or you may just not have the budget yet. So I just want to give you a few tips and ideas of some ways you can utilize what you have or you may have in your house or your office. And typically they are low to no cost ideas. Also, if you want to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Dan Rubottom, you can see what I'm doing there with different clients we have, such as Hope City in Houston, where I DP and consult their weekend team, where we're doing the production up in a hotel room currently until we're back into the building. And also Faith Church with David and Nicole Crank in St. Louis and West Palm Beach. They're shooting in a living room right now. And so we're doing Zoom calls or FaceTime. And I'll say, okay, let's move this light to the left a little bit. Okay, bring that to the right. Now, do you have like a sheet you can hang over that light? They actually have two sky panels there, which is great, but no real grip gear yet. So just because, you know, everything was like locked down and this is what they got. Also, we have a church, a couple churches, one in Chicago area and one in Vancouver, BC, where they are shooting very limited resources. One is in a garage and really no space to shoot. So I did a diagram for him and just kind of working with what he had. And let's just see if we can get some more shape and dimension into his lighting. Also, I'm revamping my website, danrubottom.com, where I'm offering some resources that can help light your set virtually through a Zoom call, providing a light plot, that kind of thing. So stay tuned for that and register on my website to get the email updates so you'll know when that launches soon. All right, let's jump on into Lighting 101. Location Lighting 101, Part 1. Here we go. What can you do if you just don't have the budget that you want or you don't have the resources that you need? I've had so much experience with less than budgets and less than resources. So it really has been a great education for me to learn how to do a lot with very little. You may think that you need that new Airy light kit or you need that sky panel or you need that light mat or you need that whatever it is. Joleco, HMI, M18, you don't need that stuff to do some projects. There are certain things that you can get away with very little or nothing. Here's the first thing I want to talk to you about. Separate the background. When you walk into a room and you're doing either a film scene or an interview, whatever it is, the first thing I do is I usually just figure out where that subject's going to be and I pull them away from the wall. Now, unless you want that kind of a flat look for a creative or aesthetic reason, that's great. But in general, I try to just pull the subject away from the background. That gives us a lot more depth. So the other thing is turn off the room lighting. A lot of times I'll just walk right into a room when we're scouting, or if the scouting is happening on the day, like I haven't been at the location prior to the shoot, and we just walk in and okay, let's just see what the room looks like without lighting. What is the natural light coming into the room? So I'll walk in, I'll turn off the room lighting and see where the natural light sources are, what windows have a lot of light coming in through, like if it's a back porch or it's the kitchen window. The next thing is use the exterior window as a source motivation if you can. So in other words, if there's a big, large patio door or the front door or a large window next to the subject, use that so that maybe you see part of it in the frame, but it's a motivation for where you either put a light that you have or you actually use that as the source light, as the key light. So if you use that as a motivation for your direction, then it kind of makes sense. So what you want to do is match the direction of the light coming into the room naturally. Now, there are other ways to do this, of course, where we bring in a grip truck and we we shape the light completely how we want it. But what I'm talking about today is just kind of working in the space that you already have with limited budget, limited resources. Maybe I don't have a light kit. Maybe I don't have C-stands or flags. So use the motivation for that window source as your key light. So then the next thing you want to do is just look at what is the background going to be? Because the background's going to determine your exposure and your overall look and tone of the shot. If it's a really bright background, if it's a white wall, if it's a dark wall, those things are going to affect the tone of the shot. They're going to affect how you feel about the shot when you're looking at it. So what is that? We want a light for emotion. This gets into more of the camera work side of it, but find out from your camera guy. Well, in this case, it's you, right? This is a low budget shoot. Look at where you're going to place the camera so you know what the background's going to be. Don't fight it. If it's a white wall that you're looking at and you're like, why can't I get enough light on the subject? Well, it's because you're trying to compete with that white wall and the exposure's too bright for your image. So maybe just pan the camera around, move the camera around so that you're shooting maybe into a darker area or into a shadow, or maybe you just need to go grab some cheap foam core or one with a black side on it from the local grocery store. You can get them for like $2 and just block off the window, or just close the shades if they have shades, especially if they're dark shades. Look at maybe how the shades might tailor the background, like to give it a pattern on the back wall, or you could close the shades. If you've got some curtains that are kind of translucent, maybe the sun kind of plays really nice through that and it gives some interesting breakup patterns along the wall. Of course, then you got to think about how long is the sun going to be in that position if it is direct sun, and you don't want it drifting during your 30-minute interview or during your scene that you're blocking out. So you have your key light coming from one direction, motivated by a window or a door, and then you've got your background set, you know, kind of what the background's going to be that's not competing with your foreground too much. And then when you bring in, say, if you do have a light kit or if you have like a bounce card, try to avoid making a light sandwich. And what I mean by that is look at the subject, and if you have a beautiful soft light coming in from a window, say if their side of their face is facing the window, they're not looking directly into the window, but it's illuminating the side of their face where it's catching both eyes, catching the one side of their face, and then going a little bit around their nose so that it's catching in their other eye. A lot of times I see people just throw up another light or open another window so that it's like both sides of their face are totally flat. Okay. That's just not very interesting looking, right? If there's like white walls bouncing that light everywhere from the window so their face is just flat, let's go ahead and just bring in, if you've got flags, great. If you've got a blanket, a dark blanket or a black sheet, pin it up to the wall, put it on a chair, something next to them so that it blocks one side of their face from being illuminated by the other wall. What I'm trying to explain is that you want the light coming primarily from one location, or at least feel like it is, so you don't have like double shadows. You don't want like the soft light on one side and on the other side, another soft light, and then kind of creating like shadows into their eyes from the other light direction. So try to keep it simple. I think people try to overthink it a lot of times, or a lot of times I just see people that aren't necessarily very experienced at it. They'll just throw two lights up equally and they're like, well, he's lit, right? No, let's try to shape it more. Think about how the human face looks. What you can do is once you've kind of got them probably nearer to one window, is you can add in a little bit of fill if it needs it. Maybe the other side of the room opposite the key is very dark, so it's falling off naturally. That's great. Maybe it's a little too dark. So bring in a little piece of foam core or a white sheet or a t-shirt hanging on a chair next to them just to get a little bit of bounce. You don't want to go too much, but just kind of move it away, further away from them, just to get a little bit of return from that primary key light coming in. Or if you want it really dramatic, just make it negative fill. Like I said, you can put the dark blankets or black sheets or black out the whole side of the room that's opposite where the window is so that it really falls off. And so you'll get a really nice contrasty but super soft key light hitting them. It can be really beautiful if the angles are right. There's another thing you can do too is just use cheap lights. You know, you could just go to Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever your hardware store is. Get one of those little can lights or some of the LED lights. Try to get the ones. I've noticed some of them are actually listing the CRI value. So anything like over 90 is great, just so that it's not like really bad green spikes in the color, so that their flesh tones look good. Blast it through a piece of shower curtain. Shower curtains are a cheap way to diffuse light incredibly well. And they may look a little awkward or weird on set, but hey, who cares? It looks amazing on camera. Or a white sheet. Obviously, you don't want to get it too close to the bulb. If you've got like a bare household bulb or one of those little can lights from the hardware store. And I already mentioned this, but get a piece of foam core from a place like Target or wherever that has school supplies and that kind of thing. A lot of times they're just really small ones. The bigger ones, the better, because the larger that foam core is, the softer the light quality will be coming back to the subject if it's close enough. If you have access to maybe a rental house and you don't have the budget, hey, ask them, do they have like just a Lowell light kit? You can rent for one of those probably for $50. And they've got like umbrellas in them. You can bounce lights off of those, because once the light is bounced off of a subject, it's really forgiving as to how that light looks versus when it's directly hitting the subject. Okay, so that's the end of part one, location lighting tips 101. I hope you got something out of that today. And it's something I'm always learning. I've been doing this a long time, almost 30 years, and I'm still learning. I'm just like constantly amazed at all the innovation out there and new techniques that I'm learning, seeing how I can apply it to creative projects and make the next one better than the last. Thanks again for listening. Let me know what you think and leave a comment if there's anything you'd like me to cover for future episodes. You can leave a comment on iTunes. Drop a 5-star rating if you like it. You can also reach me at my website, danrubottom.com. That's danrubottom.com. And on Instagram, that's where I spend most of my time for social media. And Vimeo, Twitter, and Facebook at Dan Rubottom. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and hopefully there's something in there that can help you. Learn the craft, be creative, and go make something great.